Last night, I had a really weird dream. I got a lot of sleep last night, by the way. It was awesome. I went to sleep at like 9:45. No, it was like 10:45. And then woke up at 7:45. So that's like 9 hours of sleep. It was pretty incredible. I'm a fan. It was awesome. I haven't done that in a while. I don't do it that often. I normally get 7 to 8 hours of sleep, but I got 9 full hours of sleep last night. And it was good. But I had a really weird dream. So here's the dream I had. And I'll kind of, you'll know why I'm going here in just a second. But I had this dream that I was substitute teaching. Doesn't sound that weird, right? Because I do that. I substitute teach on a fairly regular basis. I've subbed for a few of you guys. I've seen a few guys around when I'm doing that. But the school that I was subbing at was the school that I graduated from, Bloomingdale High School in Tampa. Okay, so that's a little weird because I've never been there as a teacher of any kind. And then, for some reason, I was not wearing my pants. I don't know why. I had them with me. Like, I had my dress pants with me, and I had my dress shirt on, but I did not have my dress pants on. I don't know why. I remember, like, having them, but I was wearing boxers. And it was also somehow, like, bring your parent to school day. So, I don't know. It was weird. I don't know why I had this dream, but that's a dream I had last night. And how many of you guys have had weird dreams? Yes, sir. It kind of does. It kind of does, and you'll see where I'm going with it. It kind of has. Okay. I've had other weird dreams. That may be, I don't know. I had one when I was a little kid where Wes's fingers got bit off by a crocodile in the guest bedroom of my grandparents' house. I don't know why I remember that. I was like 6 or 7 when I had that dream, but I remember it pretty vividly. But yeah, weird dreams. So you guys, most of you guys, raise your hand. You've had weird dreams. Today we're going to read a story out of the Bible where people fall asleep, okay? That's how I was getting there. It was kind of a roundabout way, but I like to sleep. Sleep is one of my favorite things. And you guys know probably that every Sunday afternoon I go home and I take like a 2.5 to 3 hour nap. It is incredible. Yeah, I get a good nap almost every Sunday. I don't play around, yeah. I go home, I lay on the couch and moan, and then I fall asleep, you know. Yeah, depending on how long I take for lunch, I can generally sleep from like 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock and still be here in time for Sunday night Bible study. So it's good. But I love to sleep. Well, tonight we're going to read a story about somebody who fell asleep. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26 is where we're at. It's on your sheet there, the references at least. And we're going to have it on the screen too if you'd rather just do that. What you're going to see on the screen is going to be New International Version. I'm going to read the Message just to kind of get a little difference on it here. But we're starting in Matthew 26, verse 26. No, verse 36. That's what I meant. Okay, here we go. Then Jesus went with them to a garden called Gethsemane and told his disciples, "Stay here while I go over there to pray." Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he plunged into agonizing sorrow. Then he said, "This sorrow is crushing my life out. Stay here and keep vigil with me." Going a little ahead, he fell on his face, praying, "My Father, if there is any way, get me out of this. But please, not what I want. You, what do you want?" When he came back to his disciples, he found them sound asleep. He said to Peter, "Can't you stick it out with me a single hour? Stay alert, be in prayer, so that you don't wander into temptation without even knowing that you're in danger. There's a part of you that is eager, ready for anything in God, but there's another part that's as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire." He then left them a second time. Again he prayed, "My Father, if there was no other way than this, drinking this cup to the dregs, I'm ready. Do it your way." When he came back, he again found them sound asleep. They simply couldn't keep their eyes open. This time he let them sleep on and went back a third time to pray, going over the same ground one last time. When he came back the next time, he said, "Are you going to sleep on and make a night of it? My time is up. The Son of Man is about to be handed over to the hands of sinners." Okay, so that's our passage for tonight. 10 verses about dudes falling asleep. All right? Now, we've got a couple things. We're going to pull some stuff out of this, okay? We're going to take some things about prayer, some things that prayer is and some things that prayer is not. We're going to start with this. Prayer is not a show. Okay, you notice right there at the beginning, right there in at the beginning of that passage, where did Jesus take the disciples? To the garden. How many of you have ever been in a loud garden? Not many of them. Most gardens are quiet places, okay, kind of places of solitude, right? So he took them out where there weren't going to be a lot of people. He didn't do this out in the public square. He said, you know, we're going to go somewhere and we're going to pray. And you'll find that Jesus does this quite often. We're going to get to that a little bit later. But prayer is not a show. Okay, earlier in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said this, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Okay, that was Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, if you want to write that down. So what we've got here, Jesus is telling them, when you pray, don't make a big show about it. Prayer is not about making sure everybody can see or hear all the fancy words that you know. Because if you do that, if you try and show off when you pray, that's all the reward you're going to get. People are going to recognize that and go, hey, that's cool. Okay, but when you pray in quiet, when you get some one-on-one time with God, that's when the good stuff happens. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Okay, so prayer is not a show. There's a TV show that I like to watch. It's called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. Any of you guys ever heard of it? It was only on for one season back in 2006 or so. But it was about a TV show, like a Saturday Night Live kind of TV show, okay, like a sketch comedy show. And one of the characters on the show, her name's Harriet, and she's a Christian, which in Hollywood is weird, okay? So this show takes place in Hollywood, and it's strange. There's not a lot of Christians in the acting business, or at least that's the way the show treats it. But the thing that bugs me about this show, and I really like the show, it's pretty funny, pretty dramatic at times. But the thing is, every time they make a big deal about her praying, and they do it several times during the season, every time she prays, she folds her hands and she gets down on her knees and she starts praying in Old English. I'm like, I've never done that. Like, I may have folded my hands when I was a kid to pray, but that's not how we pray. And it makes her prayers always look like a show, and it really bothers me because that's not the whole point of prayer. Prayer is not so that other people can see you. Okay? So that's point number one. Point number two, prayer is not always easy. How many of you have ever fallen asleep while praying? I can be honest, I've done that. Okay? Most of you have done that, right? This is why I rarely do my, like, devotion time at night, because I'll be chilling, like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to lay in bed and do my devotions with my Bible, and then I wake up the next morning, right? Like, I was halfway through Matthew 6, and then I don't know what happened. So prayer is not always easy, especially in today's world. We have lots of distractions, okay? I'm assuming right now that some of you are not reading your scripture because of the way you're laughing at your phone. That's a distraction. All right, so there's lots of distractions with TV and texting and our computers and extracurricular activities, and none of those things are bad, okay? I'm all in favor of all that stuff, but we have to make the time to pray. We have to make time to be in that prayer time because we have a relationship with God, and just like on this world, if you don't communicate with somebody, that relationship is not going to be very good, okay? You may have a friend or something you can go years without talking to. I've got a few friends that I can go a while without talking to, and we can kind of pick up where we left off. But that relationship isn't growing. You know, my buddy Micah that I talk about all the time, you know, every couple months or so, me and him will have like an hour and a half long phone conversation. And I don't really like to talk on the phone that much. But every once in a while, every couple, 3 months since I moved out of the house with him, we've had a conversation of like an hour and a half. Okay, and it's good to catch up, and those are great, but it's not the same as if we were still, you know, together all the time and maybe living together and seeing each other on a weekly basis. It's just not the same. The same thing goes with our relationship with Jesus. We have to make time, and we have to intentionally do that. Sometimes prayer is not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to find the time. Just like the disciples had trouble staying awake, they found it hard to pray in this particular time. We're going to find that too. Point number three, prayer is necessary. Okay, like I said, we have a relationship with Jesus, and in order to keep that relationship going, we have to have communication with him. Jesus himself, when he was here on this earth, constantly was going off to pray. In Luke chapter 5, it says this, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Now, what does that first verse sound like? The crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. What does that kind of What kind of lifestyle does that sound like? Sounds terrible. What was said up here? Somebody up here mumbled something. Celebrity, yeah, okay. So he's got people vying for his attention. Okay, he's got people who want his attention, and he's constantly got people following him. Okay, that sounds, again, distractions. He's busy a lot. He's constantly walking, but he makes time, often, the Bible says, to go somewhere alone and pray, to be in communication with his Father. Okay, verse number 41 in our initial text here back in Matthew 26, verse 41 said it this way. This is the next point. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So what is praying keep us from? Temptation. Okay, we did the Lord's Prayer a few months ago. We talked about the Lord's Prayer. And in that verse, it's in that prayer, it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But one of the things we can do to help keep ourselves to resist temptation is to be in prayer on a regular basis. Because like it says, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. What that's saying is, you might want to do what's right, but our flesh, our sinful nature, tends to take over. Okay? How many of you guys have been in that situation? You're like, I know I should not be doing this, but here I go doing it anyways, right? We've all been there. If your hand is not up, you're a liar. All right? Nobody is perfect here. So we can all say, you know what? There have been times when I really wanted to do what was right, but man, my spirit, you know, my flesh kind of took over. Prayer helps us to resist temptation. Okay, and here's my last point. Prayer is how we set the table for the great things that God wants to do in us. How many of you guys want to see our youth group grow? Good, most of the hands went up. That's good. Okay, how many of you guys want your friends to get saved that don't know Jesus? Okay? How many of you want to have better relationships with your friends and you just want to have better relationships? Yes. Okay. All these things happen because of prayer. Okay, they don't happen because of magic. You can't just hope, well, you know, I'm just going to ignore Jesus for a while, and I'm sure he'll eventually bring me the right girl or guy to marry. Doesn't quite work like that. You might find a guy or girl that way, but you might not. Okay, if you say, you know what, man, I wish our youth group would grow, but you're never in prayer. Or man, you know, you say, man, I wish some friends of mine would meet Jesus, but you're never in prayer asking for opportunities to share. You're never in prayer asking for the wisdom and the courage to share with them. Then yeah, the chances are they're not going to meet Jesus. Okay, in Acts chapter 10, we talked about Acts chapter 10 a couple weeks ago at the beginning of this series on Peter. And where was Peter when he had the vision? Remember, he had the vision, the sheet came down with the animals. Remember, we had the pigs and or the bacon and fried chicken and lizards. Right? He was on the top of a roof. What was he doing? He was in prayer. Okay, Acts chapter 10. Peter was on top of the roof praying when he had that vision. I'll find it right here. That's right. Acts chapter 10, verse 3. One day about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. Oh, no, before that. Oh, no, that was Cornelius. I'm sorry. I got that wrong. There we go, verse 9 of Acts chapter 10. About noon the following day, Peter went up on the roof to pray. While he was praying, when the meal was being prepared, he had a vision. Okay, prayer set the table for that. In Acts chapter 12, we're still with Peter. I'm going to read this little story for you here. It was about this time that King Herod had arrested some people who belonged to the church to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter only. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Okay, a couple of verses. Oh, and then verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. So he's really well guarded. He's sleeping in between a couple of soldiers. He got chains. There's a couple more soldiers at the door. He's really well guarded. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in his cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Peter is released from prison at this point by a miracle. He thinks it's a vision. It happens so easy. He really does. If you read a little later, Peter actually thinks it's a vision. Peter's not totally sure what's going on. But He realizes, whoa, I'm out of prison. That's cool. And he goes and finds the church and gets back with him. But that all started because the people were praying for Peter. Okay? Later, you know, there's the story about Paul in prison, Paul and Silas in prison. Okay? And a great earthquake comes and breaks all the chains and opens up all the doors. What are they doing when the earthquake comes? They're praying. They're praising. Okay, the Bible says they're praising all night long, but it's a similar concept here. We have got to be in prayer if we want the good things to happen, if we want the church to grow, if we want the youth to go, if you want your friends to get saved, if you want your relationships to be better, if you want your walk with Jesus to be better, we have to be in regular prayer. We have to be. Wes, go ahead and start some prayer music, please. We have got to be in prayer. And one thing that I want to point, and I forgot, this isn't on my notes, but I want to just kind of say this, is that one of the things about prayer, how many of you guys have ever had a conversation with somebody, but all they do is talk about themselves and you never get to say a word, right? How do you feel when you have those kind of conversations? Annoyed. You don't like it, okay? But we tend to do that with God. All right, God, here's my list. Thanks. See you later. Okay, we've got to listen for God to speak back to us. It's not always going to be an audible voice. I've never heard a voice from heaven come down and tell me something. I haven't. Okay, it does still happen, but I've never had that particular experience. I have felt the Holy Spirit prompt me. Okay, I have been in prayer and just, you know. Or sometimes the Holy Spirit will just kind of give you a verse. Okay, when I was working at the 99, you know, the Lord gave me Jeremiah 29:11. And so I started working that into my message. I wasn't totally sure why the Lord wanted me to put that in there, but I just got I knew He did. I just could feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit that He wanted me to put that in there. So you got to listen for what the Lord is saying back to you when you pray as well. We're going to go into a time of prayer here, and I want you guys to really take this to heart. You say, you know what, I don't pray very often. Well, now's the chance to start. Or maybe it's been a while. You and God got some catching up to do. That's okay. But we're going to spend a few minutes here in prayer. And if you have requests, by the way, you can write them on the bottom and put them down here in this basket. They do get prayed for. But does anybody right now have any requests that they want to present publicly? Any prayer requests we can pray for? Anybody got any prayer requests they want to share? I know we got some folks traveling for the holidays. Okay, lots of people are going to be traveling. Pray for traveling mercies there. Okay? If not, that's cool too. But just wanted to offer it there. If you guys have anything you want us to pray for, we will. If you don't want to say it and you want to just put it in the box, that's fine too. But I want you guys to just take a few minutes. We're going to take just 3 or 4 minutes here and spend some time in prayer. Pray for your friends. Pray for your teachers. Pray for your school. Pray for your parents and those around you and friends who you know need to meet Jesus. Pray for opportunity. Pray for courage to share with them when the opportunity arises. I'm just going to kind of start us off, and we'll just kind of spend a couple minutes in prayer here.